The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carver Silbero Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And I'm looking forward to talking to this guy. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, if you were listening yesterday, and as we told you about today in The Big Lead, I talked to a guy named Dean Worthy, who says that somebody put his face and name on the internet, and it was a case of mistaken identity, and he started getting death threats. People were trying to ruin his business, and we heard his side of things. The guy who put his name and image out there to his huge social media following is Carlos Dillard, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show.
Hi. I'm going to stop you there. That right there is incorrect.
What's incorrect?
I did not put his face and I did not put his name. I reposted another creator who has a larger following than I do.
You reposted it.
Look,
I understand you were not the source. Somebody else said, it looks like this guy, and then you reposted it and said, is this the guy, correct?
Yes. So that's okay. When someone says, is this the guy? That's a question. That is not an exclamation, correct?
Okay. I got you. And look, all I right. know you don't want to get just bogged down on that, but let me cover that first of all, because the guy I talked to yesterday, Dean, seems like a really nice, decent person.
I spoke to Dean yesterday too. He's an amazing human. I'm actually still in contact with Dean. I have spoken to Yelp. Yelp actually this morning sent me a message saying that they've taken down all the negative reviews that came in.
Okay.
And then I've also sent an email to Google, and I reached out to the creator with a larger platform than mine. I asked him to do a rebuttal video, which he did do a rebuttal video.
Okay.
And this all happened before Cairo ran their story. So
no, I understand.
This wasn't a response of we were already going to do that once we found out it was the wrong person.
Okay. So that does lead to the question, though. Why repost something? When you do, you have a huge social following. Why repost something without verifying it? Because this guy was pretty terrorized over the weekend.
I went and I looked at the photo. Dean himself said that the guy looks just like him. Not a reporter.
Kind of.
No. Dean himself said that he looks exactly like him, except that Dean has a goatee that he's had for 35 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big difference. The guy only had a mustache in your video, and Dean had his goatee. So, I mean,
has a goatee that is blonde and gray, and you can't really see it on a photo. And all we had was a year-old photo. I'm a man, and my face changes. Sometimes I have a mustache, sometimes I have a goatee, sometimes I'm barefaced.
Okay.
So that, to answer your question, is I use my eyes. I'm also not a mandated reporter. I'm also not a reporter or I'm an investigator. I'm a influencer and I'm also a lived experience foster care advisor.
Understood. But you do influence a lot of people, and he started getting death threats and people tried to destroy his business. And I appreciate you trying to rectify that.
Have you personally seen any death threats?
No, I'm taking Dean's word on it.
I haven't seen any on my platform. I haven't seen any on Yelp. Did Dean provide you any screenshots or any proof of that death threat?
No.
Okay.
No, he said he got a bunch of phone calls.
So I can't,
he was getting phone calls about him. There was nothing to grab.
Did he record that phone call?
I doubt it.
Because I'll let you know, as an influencer, I get thousands of DMs a day. I actually have screenshots and recordings of emails and recordings of voicemails left to me with people telling me that they're going to hang me and they're going to lynch me. So I'm not saying that did not happen to Dean. But I cannot question if I don't have any facts. And that's just hearsay. I can't question.
Dean's probably like me, Carlos. I wouldn't know how to do a screenshot, and I have no idea how to record a phone call. So he's probably more in my demo than yours.
I spoke to him yesterday. He said that he just uses a flip phone. He's not very tech savvy.
So. Yeah. Okay, so that's it. I appreciate you trying to make that right, and that's cool. In the restaurant, the Edmonds restaurant video that you posted, I don't know what was said that made you want to pull out your phone and start recording. So what do you allege happened there?
So first of all, I don't allege anything. This is my lived experience. We're gonna come correct.
Let me just respond to that. You just questioned Dean because – I hadn't seen any screenshots.
He has no video proof.
But I have every much right to question you as you do to question Dean and all of that because I didn't see what happened.
Let me ask you, because you didn't look at all my videos. If you would have done your due diligence and if you would have actually been a correct reporter, like you're trying to get a story, how many videos on my TikTok have you watched?
On TikTok? Hardly
how many videos
any.
Watched?
Hardly any. I mean, I've seen a bunch of your videos in the last 24 hours.
Because I've actually posted the video of what was happening before that man came up to me. It's just not my responsibility nor my job to make sure that you do your due diligence and make sure you're reporting correctly. Getting
Look,
all the facts.
I saw a Cairo 7 piece. I'm talking to you about. I'm asking you. I didn't see it, but I'm asking you what happened.
Okay, so let me let's take a step back here. You said alleged. I'm letting you know it's not alleged because I had it recorded.
Well, but I'm only hearing your side. I'm not hearing the other guy's side. And for legal purposes, I can't accuse this guy of something on the radio because, like you said, I have different standards than the internet has, and I'm held to some legal standards. So I don't know what happened.
This is why you should have done all your research and watched all the videos before even calling me. But let me
I don't have time to watch 2 hours of videos.
And you think I have time to stay here that unpaid and talk to you about this? I run a business. Like you said, I have a very large social media platform that I should
I
be.
I called you to get your side. And now we're kind of getting off track. So what happened? What do you say happened before the video that we've all seen?
Let me answer your first question. Why did I, quote unquote, like you said, pull out my phone? My phone was not pulled out. I was actually already on IG. Just like I'm on Instagram Live right now recording this conversation. I stay on Instagram Live a lot. I record a lot of my lives. Like you said, I have a large social media platform. To do that, I have to go live. I have to record a lot of content. So I was literally recording already when he walked up. So that answers your first question.
Okay, no, it's fine. And so what did he say to you? What do you say he said to you? Or what does the video say he said to you?
Like I told your producer, if you guys would actually go and watch there are 6 videos that have to do with this event. If you go and watch them all, it will make way more sense. So let me just break it down to you so it can make a little bit more sense to you. I walked over to Market Street, which is a restaurant, and they do not have a bar, but they have amazing Lobster Club sandwiches. We got Lobster Club sandwiches to go, and we walked over to another pub, which is the pub where this incident happened. My husband and I walked into the bar. We talked to the bartender. She asked us if we wanted to have an open tab or if we want to pay one. We decided to have an open tab, so we gave her our card. She put our card in her back pocket. She made our drinks. We each had a Long Island, so we ordered 2 Long Islands. We walked out to the patio. We started having our drinks. As we're drinking, there was another older gentleman that walked out and said, "Hey, I think you might need to go pay for your drinks because the bartenders are looking for your tab." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, okay, that's kind of weird." Okay, so I followed him back into the restaurant, and I asked the bartender. I said, "Hey, this man just said that I didn't pay for my tab, or maybe you guys lost my card." Or he said, "You didn't have my card." He said, "They didn't have my card." And I said, "But you guys definitely have my card. It's in your back pocket." And she checked her back pocket. There was my card. And I found my card. I asked her. I said, "Did you ask this patron?" Because the guy who came up to us was just a patron. Mm-hmm. I said, "Did you ask this patron to come up to us and ask?" And she said, "No." So I looked at him and I said, "Well, sir, next time maybe you should mind your business, because what you just did was make me uncomfortable. If they had a problem with my card, they would have found me eventually. I'm still sitting outside. It's not like..." So he was sitting at the bar and he overheard the bartenders looking for my card and thought that since he's a regular patron there, he would come out and try to help them, which
Do you think he did that because you're a black man?
I think he did that because he wasn't minding his own business.
Okay.
I don't think anything is done because someone is black. I think in our history, when white people come up to us and accuse us of things, there's a history attached to that, yes. Do I think that? No, I can't think that because I don't know that man and I don't know his intentions. I do know what it feels like to be a black man and always be accosted constantly by white stares and white approaching that you were not asked for. So that's literally what I...
that's why we called you. I wanted to hear your side of the story. And yeah, I don't, you know, I'm talking about 15 different topics today. I don't have time to watch all the videos, but I'm glad you told me that. The other thing that came up.
I'm only a little hostile because, as you can imagine, I've been dealing with this for 2 days. Like I said, And also, no one's really still understanding the trauma that I went through, and everyone's overlooking it. So I'm hoping that we can get to that point in this conversation.
Well, I mean, we only have a couple minutes left here, but what you described didn't sound traumatizing. That was traumatizing, what the guy said to you?
So yes, it was. As a white man, I don't think that you have the rights or the hearsay to let a black man know what's traumatizing. As a black man who has been put in positions where I've been asked if I pay for something before I left the store or I followed while I left the store, mm-hmm. asking me if I pay for something is very traumatizing because it sets us back in a place where we have been lynched and hung and literally beaten when people misidentify or lie about us. So that's why it was traumatizing for me.
Carl, if you want to blame me for being an ignorant white guy for asking this.
No one's blaming.
But it sounds very dramatic to compare somebody saying, did you pay for the drink, to a lynching. That sounds very dramatic.
Being black and living in America may sound dramatic to you, but it's something that's very real. People have lost their lives for over 400 years. If you can't understand that, that's not meant for me to educate you.
I'm just saying, being asked about a bar tab, it doesn't sound like a lynching.
We only have a few minutes, so let me continue with my story about why that video went viral. So I corrected the bartender, and I corrected the older white man that had come out and asked me. I said, hey, that made me feel uncomfortable. I let him know why. I said, because as black people, we're always looked at like we're stealing or doing something. And he said, you're absolutely correct, and I'm sorry. And we started, like, laughing. I was like, you're fine. Everyone makes mistakes. The bartender started laughing. We walked out. 5 minutes later, I'm on my Instagram Live. I'm literally speaking to my husband, speaking to my people on live. And then that's when that gentleman walks up and says,
"Okay."
Hey, fellas, are you okay? You know, hey, fellas, is everything okay? You seem distressed. And that's when I looked at him because he was in the bar. So he thought that I was distressed because the way I speak to you is how I speak to people. I don't sugarcoat anything. I speak articulate and I speak direct.
Just let me interject because my producer Nicole had a wonderful conversation with you this morning, mm-hmm. and she said one of the things, and you even kind of laughed and acknowledged it, that you come across as a pretty intense guy, and so I mean that's true, and you sound intense. I like intensity, Carlos. I'm intense, but you come across that way, don't you?
I survived 37 foster homes. I survived being sodomized, raped, and beaten. I also survived homelessness as a 15-year-old. I have to be intense. That's how I become so successful.
Well, God bless you for coming through all that. I really mean that.
Some of the worst things that human beings can endure. So I am very intense because I have no time to lose and I have no time to waste. And time is money and money is time. So that's why I'm intense. But I'm also, if you actually watch me on social media, I'm also one of the most gracious people, and I'm not just tooting my own horn. Like, I help foster youth. I help women's rights. I advocate for everything.
Yes, and that's I will tell you, I watched a bunch of your videos last night, and I also know that you made the news last year because you said a woman flipped you off, cut you off, and then you were following her, and I mean, she sounded pretty terrorized.
Let's get our facts straight again. She followed me for several blocks. I'm not going to speak about an incident that you didn't go watch. Did you go watch the whole 14-minute video?
Yes, I did. I saw some internet sleuths who thought there were great holes in your narrative of what happened.
What holes when I had human beings there saying that they saw? Did you see the human being
who said that he saw some. Yes, I did see
that. There were three human beings. There were two men and one woman. One woman was a bigger woman. She was light-skinned, and she said, I saw him. She ran up on him. Did you see that?
That one doesn't sound familiar.
You didn't watch the entire video. Then,
okay,
there's a woman at minute 11:15 who walks up to me and said, "Hey, I've been following you for two blocks, and I saw the whole thing. She followed you, and then she backed up when you pulled out your phone."
And so, in a case like that, you are creating a lot of drama, and I understand you think the woman.
How am I creating drama by asking a person to stop following me?
Well, she was trying to cover up her license plate. She was afraid that she was going to be.
Afraid of what?
I think she was afraid of, you know, what Dean Worthy says happened this weekend, that, you know, all of your followers were going to go after her.
You know how afraid I was of a white woman screaming that she's being attacked and I'm about 15 feet away from her? The last white woman that said that ended up with an 11-year-old boy named Emmett Till being lynched for no reason. I love how you guys think about her trauma and how terrorized she was. How terrorized was I having this white woman follow me, call me, and then on top of that, screamed bloody murder, saying that I was attacking her. When she said I was attacking her, was I attacking her, sir?
No, you were recording her, and she was afraid it was going to lead to an internet attack.
When there's a white woman screaming, "This man's attacking me," and there's a black man there, what does that usually mean?
It means that she's, you know, first of all, she sounded very scared. She was, I don't know what's in her heart. And I'm talking to you, Carlos.
You know how
I'm
many
talking
people,
to you
how
because I want to hear what's in your heart. And I think we're having a good, open conversation here. But that's why we reached out to you. I wanted to hear your side of all
this. No, I feel like you reached out to me to get a little bit more clout off of my name. I agree with what you're doing to try to get both sides of the story. But we're not even talking about the original story that we talked about. Also, you've done nothing but sit here and question my blackness this entire conversation.
I have not questioned your blackness one time. I certainly acknowledge your blackness.
I can't imagine that happening. And then you question everything that I said, that my lived experience as a black person.
Okay.
So why were you not concerned about my safety when she was screaming? Because when a woman is screaming, please help me, he's attacking me. Any of her neighbors could have came out with their gun and shot me. I would have shot me with the way she was screaming, and I was 10 feet, 15 feet away from her just recording.
Okay.
So what about my safety?
Okay, I acknowledge.
No. You have so many excuses for her. What about my safety?
Yes, I understand now that you've explained it why you were concerned. I get it.
Oh, okay. But it's so funny how as a society, we always look at the white woman's tears and the white people's stance of, oh, maybe she's had a bad day. Maybe she was terrorized. What about my terror? What about my experience?
I'm talking to you about it, Carlos. I'm not denying it. I'm talking to you about it. That's what I try to do. I didn't know your name a year ago when we saw that video. I didn't know who you were. I had no idea how to contact you. Today, we did. So, look, I am out of time here, but I'm glad we had this conversation. Are you? You sound
upset. No, I'm not glad we had this conversation because you've literally derailed this conversation so much where we didn't even get to the point of what the conversation was about, which was the latest viral video that went out and why I felt the way I felt.
You talked for several minutes about it.
I actually wish that your producer's phone call that I have with her for 27 minutes was recorded because, like she said, she and I actually had great dialogue and we were both able to ask and answer questions respectfully without accusing. And I feel like this conversation was just a load of crap and a bunch of to be completely honest.
Okay. I'm sorry you feel that way, but that was not my intent. And, you know, while you say nobody knows what's in your heart,
let me ask you one last question before we leave.
Okay, real quick.
What was the reason? What was the use of this interview?
Because I talked to a guy yesterday. Let me answer your question. I talked to a guy yesterday, and we talked about whether he had a lawsuit against you. And whenever I bring up something like that, on the air, I try to get the other person who's a part of the story, which is what I did
today. So first of all, I've spoken to Dean about 3 or 4 times since yesterday. The word lawsuit has not come up. Also, it's public knowledge.
No, he told me he's not going to. He said he has no interest in suing.
There's no law. There is no law that says that people – I have a personal business. If someone comes after me and just destroys my business with Yelp reviews, guess what? That's just a business day, and you better call Yelp and have them take it off. Like, you can't sue someone. No.
Okay.
You can't sue someone.
Right. And he said he wasn't even thinking about legal action. So I heard his side. I wanted to hear your side. I'm sorry that you
If he said he wasn't going to bring up legal action, he hasn't brought up legal action to me. Why would you just bring it up?
Because I asked him if he was thinking about it, and he said he thought about it, and he rejected it.
Okay, so that's just like me bringing up legal action against Cairo News for making a report that was completely inaccurate.
Talking about the TV station, not us, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, both of you, depends on how this interview goes and is aired.
Well, we're airing it in its entirety.
I have no animosity towards you specifically. I may have come off a little hard on this conversation, but you have to imagine the last 2 days, my whole life has been consumed with this. And quite frankly, I'm tired of talking about my trauma. And you may see the trauma. You may not understand it, but I'm letting you know it's there. So I will give you my apologies now to let you know this. My reaction is not to you personally. It's really towards the situation.
Okay. All right. Hey, Carlos, I appreciate you saying that. I did not mean to come off as hostile to you. And I really appreciate you coming on with me today. All right.
I appreciate it too. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. And I'm so sorry that we didn't get to fully uncover what we
let's talk again sometime. Okay.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Carlos Dillard joining us. Lots of text messages, man. Dory, you're keeping your cool. So good. Yeah, no, I was enjoying it. All right, that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
All right, I have a lot of other news to get to as well, including a city mayoral candidate who shows that she has just lost her mind when it comes to all the murders around here. We'll tell you about it coming up next. Here on the Dory Monson Show. Text machine is spinning like a slot machine right now. I appreciate all the comments. I do indeed. All right. I have some other news to talk about, believe it or not, including from the mayor's office. Jenny Durkin, when she was talking yesterday about the four murders, five others shot in Seattle this weekend, all because of Democratic government and Democratic voters. If you're a Democratic voter, I'm sorry. But it's time to assign the responsibility where it lays. When you put this city council in, when you put the legislature in that has now made police job much more difficult, this is the result, this lawlessness that we are facing. And one of my listeners noticed that Jenny Durkin said this about how to deal with the gun violence that is at a record pace right now.
We cannot just cut. We need a plan, a comprehensive plan that addresses both prevention and intervention, but at the same time provides adequate number of police officers.
We need a plan. Jenny Durkin, you have been mayor of Seattle for more than 3.5 years. Why don't you have a plan? If on Cairo Radio, if my ratings were in the tank for 3.5 years, and I didn't have any listeners, I didn't have any sponsors, and I wasn't worth more to the company than what they're paying me, which is how any of us have a job, if we deliver more value to our employer than what they pay us. That's how free market economies work. You have to be able to deliver. If for 3.5 years I was not delivering, and then management sits down with me and says, well, your show's just not cutting it. And I say, yeah, you know, I need a plan. If I was the manager, I'd say, wait, you haven't even thought about it? You need a plan? Now you're thinking about you need a plan when things have gotten so desperate? Yeah, I think I'd be fired. So Jenny Durkin says we need a plan about the violence. She talked with Brandi Cruz at Q13 Fox this morning, and she was asked about how the city council wants to take police dollars for, you know, officers and move it to things like people who will come and just counsel the people who are in desperate need.
There continues to be demands from the council that they take that, quote, savings, and they put it elsewhere, and they take it out of the Seattle Police Department. How do you stop that from happening?
We will be sending to council a comprehensive plan on what we do with the money that Seattle Police Department isn't utilizing because we've lost so many officers. And I think that the community, the city of Seattle, expects its leaders to provide for community safety.
Oh, yeah, we do. And you aren't. That's the bottom line. But she's going to send a plan. Brandi asked another great question about how they make bargains with gun felon criminals.
Why are we giving plea deals to people who use guns to commit crimes?
So, Brandi, as you know, that the city doesn't make those deals.
It's King County. But you're a former prosecutor. So from your perspective, as a former prosecutor, should we be giving those deals to people who use guns?
Man, Brandy's so good. She's really great. Jenny starts to deflect, and Brandi just jumps all over it. That's what a great reporter does right there.
Look, I think we have to use every strategy we have to get guns off the street. And when people use guns in a crime, we have to have special interventions. So I think, you know, we can look at these 900 shootings across.
This is such nonsense. When people use guns in a crime, we should look at special interventions. We used to have a thing called hard time for armed crime. If you use a gun in a felony crime, you will go to prison for a long, long time. But a lot of the gun felons in the state prison, J.E. Inslee released them. He let them go free in the last year. So, and this is what drives me insane. They don't talk about rock control. I've got a rock control update for you, by the way. They don't talk about rock control, but they talk about gun control. And we need new laws. They do not enforce existing laws. So what good will new laws do if you're just letting gun felons walk free because we've decided to care more about criminals than innocent, tax-paying, hardworking citizens?
Across the country and say we want it reduced, and there's a various things that have led to it that lead to this uptick in violence. But one common thread is everybody's carrying a gun when they shoot someone. And so we need fewer guns on...
Wait a minute. Let me think about that one for a second. Everyone's carrying a gun when they shoot someone. Yeah, you know what? Now that she mentions it, I think that's true. That's something Jenny Durkin and I agree on. Everyone's carrying a gun when they shoot somebody. That's interesting. I'm going to ponder that one while we listen to the rest of the soundbite.
On the street, and we need to have strategies that when guns are used, that we have the right accountability. Chief Diaz said that he's worked...
Talk about a lot of woke words. We need a strategy and we need accountability. Just put them in prison. 10 years if you use a gun in the commission of a felony. That'll help, Jenny. But we don't do that. We would rather see people kill innocent citizens than lock up criminals. Just admit it. That is the attitude of Democrats in our state.
Working with federal authorities right now to be looking at other ways that the city can make sure that people that bring guns and use guns in crime may be held accountable in the federal system.
Maybe.
I think we have to be looking at all those tools.
It's unbelievable. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Okay, one more. Brandy asked a great question.
We saw last year... So many voices.
It starts, this is a cut from her press conference, and then Brandy asks a question.
We saw last year so many voices in the street demanding community alternatives to policing, to bring attention to the systemic racism that has impacted communities of color, particularly the Black community, for generations. Make no mistake about it, this gun violence is also disproportionately impacting those communities of color.
Mayor Durkin, when people on the right say what you said there at the end, they're called racist. Maybe not with the nuance that you say it, but when they raise concern about the violence that's happening in these communities of color, they're called racist. And I think that we have this, and you use the nuance that's appropriate. I think we have this inability to, on one side, talk about police reform, and on the other side, talk about some of the violence issues in communities of color and what's happening there. Why do we have such an inability to use nuance in this conversation about how we can save people's lives?
So, Brandy, one of the things in the last few weeks that I did that was really hard was I sat down with some of the families that have been impacted by violence and also some of the community leaders in a place where violence had recently happened. And what we have to focus on are how do we help the families in the community? And we have seen time and time again that this is impacting our communities of color more than it is impacting other communities. You know, for example, if you look at, you know, African Americans make up about 7% of the population of the city of Seattle, but almost 60% of the gun deaths have been of African American men. We can't stand for that. We have to have strategies and work and stand with the community
and
to
it. She will not talk about truth there. The reason for that disparity in percentages is because 70% of Black children are born out of wedlock. And that leads to poverty. It leads to boys who don't have fathers in the home. And that leads to a thing that some people, you know, people on the left are unable to utter. And until you get down to the truth, you're not going to get down to solutions. All right. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Oh, man. Awesome Audio includes a soundbite that, judging from the text, might be the most requested of the year so far. You will hear it again, or for the first time if you're just tuning in. Next, here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. It's a good show today. If I do say so myself, and I do. All right, and without his mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
All right, let's start with the President of the United States. Roughly 25% of Americans are not vaccinated. Joe Biden says, you're stupid if you're not vaxxed.
We have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated. And there's so much enormous confusion. And the more we learn, about this virus and the Delta variation, the more we have to be worried and concerned. And then only one thing we know for sure, if those other 100 million people got vaccinated, we'd be in a very different world. So get vaccinated. If you haven't, you're not nearly as smart as I said you are.
On the press, if Trump said that, the press wouldn't laugh. They'd say, Trump calls a quarter of Americans stupid. When it's Joe Biden, you're not as smart as they think you are. Oh, Joe. Simone Biles, she quit on her team last night at the Olympics. She had a bad vault, went into the locker room, changed into sweats, walked out. She quit. On her team. It was the team competition, not the individual competition. And she's being celebrated for it. I don't condemn her for it, but I don't celebrate it either. When did quitting become a virtue? But everybody in the press says that it was wonderful. It shows strength. No, quitting isn't strong. Quitting isn't necessarily weak. Quitting's quitting. But it's not to be celebrated. She said she needed to take a mental health day. By the way, when's Joe Biden going to quit so he can take a mental health day? So anyway, here's Simone Biles explaining why she quit on her team.
Say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are.
Man, things are upside down when quitting is a sign of strength.
No injury, thankfully, and that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured. So I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to go in. And it's been really stressful, this Olympic Games, I think, just as a whole, not having an audience. There are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables. And I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun. And sometimes that's not the case.
It was stressful and not fun. So I quit. Okay. Snohomish County Health District guy, Dr. Chris Spitters, he acknowledges that if you're vaxxed, you don't need a mask, but they're going to make you do it anyway, apparently.
The most straightforward way to verify that all unvaccinated people are wearing a mask in such settings is for everyone to wear a mask in those settings.
So the vaxxed people have to wear a mask just in case people don't know that they're vaxxed. That's crazy. Okay, here, this is the soundbite that's gotten maybe more requests since I played it a couple hours ago than any of the year. If you want to know if you should wear a mask or not, all you have to do is listen to the great doctor, Anthony Fauci, and he will tell you clearly, definitively, whether or not you should wear a mask. This is a great two-minute montage.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. And masks are protective, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. But good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
If, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
Are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.
So there you go. Now you know if you should wear a mask or not. All right, that's going to do it for us. Tom Curley Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. Hi, dude.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.